morning so far. I've seen our kids serving and growing and serving in our church, and our music team and the songs just working so well. And thanks, David, for encouraging to hear you this morning. I'm going to pray, and we'll continue our series in the Apostles' Creed. We're almost there, 3 weeks to go. It's been a long series. Let me pray. Our gracious Father, as we again hear your voice and you speak to us through your word, Lord, I pray by your Spirit that you unite us in and through the Lord Jesus, that we'll be people who love you with all our heart, mind, body, and strength. And Lord, that you'll help us by your Spirit writing your word on our hearts, that we will truly love one another and love our neighbour as ourselves. And so, Father, we pray now you bless us as we hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great sporting moments I've ever experienced was the Sydney Olympics. And I particularly remember the night before the opening ceremony in the city, as the Olympic torch was carried through the city around Martin Place. Martin Place was pumping. It was jam-packed with people from all over the world. I was talking with people from America and Germany, South Africa, Canada, all these nations together. I think I bought a drink for someone from Spain. I can't remember. It was just a wonderful time. It was an extraordinary moment of all these nations together in one place at one time. And the feeling was so electric. There was such joy and excitement. In that moment, there didn't seem to be a care in the world. Well, that's what the Olympics do. They bring the nation's athletes together to go faster, higher, stronger in various sports. Who can forget in the Sydney Olympics, Eddie the Eel, the Equatorian Guinean 100-meter swimmer? The crowd was cheering on in the spirit of the Olympics, and they erupted in celebration as he finished in a time of 1 minute 52.72 seconds. The world record is 46.91 seconds. But it didn't matter. It was all about the spirit of competing. A wonderful moment. The Olympic Games, a time when 156 odd nations come together for a common purpose, putting aside differences and struggles and conflicts. The spectators from the nations of the world sitting together, drinking together, celebrating their country's athletes. There is something good about the games. I think it's a moment of shared humanity. And it's a hint of God's purposes for us, for humanity, for those created in the image of God to come together in community. And I can't help thinking it is a picture. It's a small snapshot of Revelation 7 verse 9 that James just read to us. This vision of John as he looks into heaven. I'll pick it up from verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. However, the difference with the picture in Revelation 7 and what I described at the Olympics is, everyone has God as creator, but not everyone has God as their father, as their Lord, and therefore will stand before God's throne in heaven. You know, we're all made in the image of God. We are more valuable than the rest of the created species, unless you work at PETA. You know that organization, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals? I don't know whether you heard their statement this week. This is what they said. We can't destroy the mice that are plaguing our farmers because they are just as valuable as humans. I think that's crazy. It's nuts, isn't it? God as creator and his work among us, as people, as persons created in his image, that is unique. And the only way we can truly realize the image of God, the purpose for which we exist in humanity, is to form a community of people in loving relationship, which one writer defines as the church. So no wonder on one level the Olympics are wonderful. nations together in community, but it's not the community we're ultimately created for, and it's very fleeting. It may not even happen this year. But the same writer goes on to say, the church then is the community of God, not only because it's been created by a triune God, but because the church shares in the triune community itself. As we've been looking at this triune God, it is in essence a relational God. A God exists in relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so this relationship helps us understand that we were created firstly for a relationship, a right relationship with God for His glory, that then flows to a right relationship with one another. That's what it means to be human. Our God is relational, and what our God does is form a people for Himself. And so the creed so far has helped us to understand God as three in one and establish the vertical understanding of our relationship with God. With God the Father, with God the Son, and as we heard last week, with God the Spirit. And so the creed now starts to turn to the horizontal implications flowing from our vertical relationship with God with each other in creating a people. And what He's doing, it's huge. You know, our line in the creed today says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. So what are we believing in? You know, from Genesis, God created people in His image to be in relationship with Him and each other until both relationships were destroyed by sin. But God's purposes didn't end. He's committed to those created in His image and to choose a people for Himself, restoring a people to right relationship with Him. And so in the Old Testament, such people are called friends, sons and daughters of God, priests, God's assembly, servants of God, God's flock, citizens of God's kingdom, a nation, a people of God. And so we move to the New Testament. God's people are called through Jesus to be part of His family. That's what we talk about here, isn't it? We're also people God are called a body of Christ, a priesthood of all believers, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, saints, co-heirs with Christ. And to get a deep understanding of what it means to the people of God, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and so to live the richest and fullest life with God and each other that we were created for, is what Jay read for us in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. I'm just going to read it again for us. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, and he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. All that God was doing, calling a people to Himself in the Old Testament, as the promises made to Abraham, and through the law and the prophets and the New Testament, is now fulfilled in Jesus. He's bringing one humanity out of two, both Jew and Gentile. And so Jesus is the key to what God is doing in the universe, establishing right relationship between Him and us. And a right relationship with each other flowing out of relationship marked by love of God that is to flow to a love of neighbor. And this is the relationship is what our heart ultimately hungers for. Because we're created for this relationship with God, yet the world wars against us. The world can't satisfy that hunger. If we get a taste of communion, maybe at the Olympics, yet only truly found and satisfied with God. And so we say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. And the phrase the Holy Catholic Church is not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. That's good. It's the universality of the church. We belong to a bigger family of God than we can fathom. The one that God has been forming through Jesus. You know, we have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. Down through the centuries of the history of the church. United together under Christ. And as we know God as Father, as people, we don't share the same language with others, but the language of the gospel. There's different races and tribes, yet we belong to a family of faith that goes way beyond what we see here today. Although we've got many of the nations among us as well. So all around us, in our city and the world today, in different contexts, maybe different styles than us, different languages, God's people are worshipping Jesus Christ as Lord and listening to his voice through the word in the power of the Holy Spirit, singing God and enjoying God of our salvation. That's what's happening around the world today in this universal church, which we're part of. See, what God is doing here is so tiny compared to what he's doing globally. But it's just as significant. Redeeming and transforming his children to be more like Jesus and worshiping Jesus as the one true Lord and King. And we will meet this multitude one day. People from every tribe, nation and tongue and every expanding people through the adopting work of his Spirit as the word of Jesus is preached and people washed by the blood of the Lamb as we read in Revelation 7:14. Those numbers in Revelation is just a complete number. But the number standing before the throne one day is a multitude. It's a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham of descendants more numerous than the stars. We are part of something massive. Once we were not a people, now you are God's people for eternity. And so the Holy Catholic Church is referencing all Christians everywhere over time, a holy people set apart for God and his purposes. And what is encouraging from Revelation 7, 9 to 10, one day this Holy Catholic Church has said, we'll be together. And this is what will cry out. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This view of God's church should stifle and stun any type of swagger about our church or other churches. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You know, no church is perfect. We're certainly not perfect, because you and I are not perfect. This multitude is made up of redeemed sinners saved by Jesus. But we ought to celebrate and rejoice and praise with our mouths those who seek to proclaim Jesus. For we have no enemy than our own flesh, as we heard last week, and Satan who wars against us. You know, we're not competing with the church down the road. We're all part of the universal church, the big thing that God's doing. And so here we are, we're part of the Holy Catholic Church. So when we say believe this, it should make us to lift our eyes and see and marvel and rejoice at the big thing that God is doing in the world. Are you excited about that? That God is redeeming people around the world, that one day we'll stand together and declare that salvation belongs to our God. It's huge. Well, then the creed then narrows down to that universal view to the local expression of our relationship with God and each other, where our growing in holiness occurs. I believe in the communion of saints. Now, a saint is a holy person of God, one set apart for God and by God, a person who is in Christ Jesus by the adopting work of the Holy Spirit, not someone who performs a couple of miracles. You're a saint, I'm a saint, because Christ has redeemed you by the work of his Spirit in your heart. So who's a saint? Come on. Because this is what you're believing in. The communion of saints. We're believing here that God is at work in each one of us. You know, communion is a fellowship of believers, of saints, those alive on earth in the universal church, but alive also with Christ in heaven. Death doesn't separate us either. And this communion, as we read in the New Testament, expressed in the life of a local fellowship, the local church, a local gathering marked by the worship of Jesus, of encouragement, engaging in preaching. Are you still awake? Hello? Engaging and preaching and teaching of the word and prayer, submitting to accountability, serving each other and sharing the work of mission to make disciples of Jesus. But going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's make you a hamburger. There you go. Everyone's awake. That's good. Thought I'd just throw that in there. There's a line to remember. But a Christian is one who's saved by Jesus, to love Jesus and to love one another. And we express this as we belong, as we gather in a local gathering here called church. And it's not just something that we attend. Going to church is not the same as belonging to church. So what does this look like? What does belonging look like? I'm glad you asked. It's to a deep commitment. It's to commit and a deep commitment to the to be gathered people of God and to gathering consistently in order to speak into each other's lives, to build each other up in Christ and affirm one another in the presence of God by to be holy as God is holy. And how do we do that? Well, belonging is about love. The love of God and the love of each other. And what this looks like, I think, comes from the 59 one another passages in the New Testament. I know I've spoken about these before. Let me read them all out to you. You're still awake. No, I'm not going to do that. But I think each verse fleshes out for us what this love looks like. 59 verses for us to grapple with what love, to love God and love each other looks like. To understand the communion of saints and the essence, I think, of belonging. These one another passages are not what we sit back and demand from each other, but the responsibility of each of us to one another in obedience to Jesus. For he's the one we serve and honor in our church, and so we serve and honor each other. We live in harmony with each other. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another, then as Christ accepted you. Our communion of belonging is made up of equally sinful people accepted by Jesus. We're all porcupines. We can all be prickly towards each other at times, can't we? But at times that's part of God's sanctifying work in us. He's only got sinful people to deal with, right? And so we should have equal concern for each other. Carry each other's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. That's a church worth belonging to, isn't it? But we can't be like that if we just attend church. It takes a deep commitment to belong and build relationships where you don't grumble against each other, but encourage and build each other up. Building relationships, deep committed relationships, take time. To be kind and compassionate to one another, it's hard to do if you don't know someone's story or what they're going through or understand where people are coming from, what they're wrestling with out there in the world, but also in here. The struggle with our flesh, our struggles with illness. You can't show compassion and concern except one another unless you know their lives. It's the heart of the one another passages. to know each other. And when we do, it creates empathy and compassion and understanding. But if we just react in the moment and watch a certain behavior, you can easily lack compassion and instead be judgmental, as Romans 14 says, to us to stop passing judgment on one another. In order to know what is going on, you need to know people. To spend time with others, be other person-centered in your conversations and attitudes towards each other. And as we do that, we keep in mind the vertical right relationship with God that comes through His grace, mercy, and love to us through Jesus. As we remember that vertical relationship, we are able to love because God loved us first. I think the very idea of belonging to a church is to operate in these one another passages. Pursue them in our lives. So we'll be truly the communion of saints, growing in holiness as God is holy. And our church is a space where I work out what God has called me to do as one created and being recreated in the image of God. And so we'll all grow in being image bearers of God who love and all these things to us. You know, building such relationships are not like Facebook. You know, Facebook is 100 feet wide and an inch deep. 1,000 friends of Facebook, and yet you don't really know any of them. Belonging to church is a deep commitment to each other. You know, in our small groups, dig into people's hopes, dreams, history, fears, struggles, where we wrestle with the authentic Christian life together, where we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn. Friends, this takes time. Yeah, but we need to realize I can't do it all and I can't have it all in life. You know, we are finite people with limited in time and resources. You know, we're constantly saying yes to things means we're going to say no to something else, isn't it? And it's true about our lives in our church. So will we prioritize creating space? Will we intentionally pursue time and space where relationships will actually grow? You know, our culture says it's all about me. We're always running faster each year. We come out of COVID. Are we back on the treadmill again? Yeah, I am getting old. What are our priorities? Let's come back. What are our priorities as the people of God? As the communion of saints? Part of the universal church. It's to create space for each other. Or are our lives controlling us? See, there's a constant battle, a war for our soul going on each and every day. And things we can say no to can be good things. Yet to be planted into our community, we need to make trade-offs. Are you prioritizing to sow into deep, meaningful relationships here? So we are the communion of saints. And it won't happen accidentally. It doesn't naturally happen. We need to be intentional. See, Proverbs 24, verse 6 says this, "Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors." We need each other. To open up to counsel of others, our posture towards God and each other ought to be one of humility, where we welcome the input of one another. Older men and women teaching younger men and women how to live out our life. And the communion of saints allows us to welcome others, to engage with you, and to show where I might be out of step with Jesus, and therefore out of step with each other. How I may faithfully serve the Lord and find that right balance in my life. So when we meet together, as we pray together, encourage and speak and admonish each other in love, Jesus speaks. I believe in the communion of saints, and as we meet and belong here, we experience the presence and the power of Christ in our life to press on and obtain that crown of glory. It's a wonderful picture in Revelation, isn't it? So let me finish with that picture. Let me read from Revelation 7, verse 13, and I'll finish here. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." We know Jesus is coming back. The day of great tribulation, the days of suffering, the day of judgment is coming. But for those washed by the blood of the Lamb will stand before the throne of God for eternity. The communion of saints, the church is no longer the problem is the communion of saints, the church is no longer the moral majority today. We're now viewed, the church, what we're doing here, what we believe, is now viewed as the immoral minority. Our offensive views on everything, that's how the world sees us. You know, we are now viewed as the enemy through our devotion to Jesus and an uncompromising refusal to bow our knee to the culture of our day. I hope that's us. Remember, that's what the creed does. Rejects the narrative of the creation and accept God's narrative. And so I think we have to prepare as the communion of the saints, as we wait for that day with the multitudes in heaven before the throne of God, to be exiles within our own city, be aliens in our own land. The one another life is a life in conflict with our world. Our previous standing in the world has been eroded. Now, for some, that may be a cause of lament. But it might not be a bad thing. That the world might discover and see that the church, as those called by God, may reveal an alternative life that the world cannot on its own terms know or grasp. Where true freedom is found. For in God we know what is good for us. That is true freedom. The world thinks freedom is about whatever we can do ourselves. See, the building of this community of saints is not just to be a holy hubble, but also our chance to be salt and light, the salt and light of the earth and the light of the world. To demonstrate that we are like Jesus. Friends, what the church has to offer is not our programs and not our buildings. The best thing that the church has to offer the world is Jesus Christ. We need to show and offer Jesus as Lord and Savior of all people, to all people. And firstly, that Jesus is truly our Lord and Savior. Can people see Jesus in us and the way that we live? And that comes from His Spirit in us, shaping us through the Word of Christ, dwelling us richly, especially the one another passages. We both belong here, and so we stand out as the peculiar people of God. You know, chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's quite peculiar, isn't it? A community that is more rich than a fleeting sporting moment as we gather as the nations. For the communion of saints is one of eternal value and significance. And as we think of that, we need to remember that God desires the death of no one. He wants all to escape the day of tribulation and stand with the holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, before His throne in heaven. But it's only those in robes of white, people washed by the blood of the Lamb, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, those alive now, those alive in Christ in heaven, and those God will bring alive as we share and speak about Jesus. For the good news of Jesus is powerful for salvation. So friends, we need to speak up to the nations around us. They need to hear and know Jesus as Lord, and so they will belong to the communion of saints with us. Is that your heart's desire? Well, that's God's. And so as a community of saints, let's be on with what God's on about. Remember that picture in Revelation. A multitude. God said to Abraham, descendants as numerous as the stars. Can't count them. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. You and me. And who else are we going to bring into the communion of saints and belong with us here and worship our Lord and Saviour? Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the encouragement of each other to be able to stand and sing your praise this morning, to hear you speak to us, to hear your desire for us and hear what you're doing in the world, gathering a people to yourself, and that wonderful picture of the multitude standing before the throne of the Lamb. Robes, white robes washed with blood. Father, I thank you for the way you've been at work in our lives. Father, help us be a church that we belong to, that we encourage and build each other up in love. That will be a communion of saints so attractive to the world around us. We're not attractive because of our programs or the building, but because of the Lord Jesus who dwells in us by his Spirit. And so, Father, help us and use us to speak up about the Lord Jesus, so we may welcome many into the communion of saints, part of your holy Catholic Church, and to one day stand before your throne, singing salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. Amen.